Blog Talk Radio.
And we're back live this week, Tuesday, July 26th. Sorry for last week, but I was on vacation, and I didn't have anything planned, so I figured I'd take the week off and make it a true vacation. Hope you missed me. But this week, we're back after the Brickyard 400. There was a lot of activity going on this weekend. NHRA was out in Bandimere in Colorado. The Mile High Nationals, they start their Western swing. And we can all see as the seasons are taking shape, and it's been a pretty good weekend for the waste racing. If you wanted to stay indoors, stay in air conditioning, you had an excuse. The Camping World Truck Series was out at the Eldora Speedway in Ohio. And our partner Tammy Allman was there with Make Motorsports, our friends. I guess her husband was out helping out with Eldora. I did actually watch it, got to see it, and it's a pretty exciting race. Maybe next year I'll try to go up there myself, but we'll just have to wait and see. But I needed this time off to recharge my batteries. Nothing wrong with that. Everybody needs a vacation, and needs to rest up. Felt good having a week to sleep in later than I normally do, even if it is only by a couple hours. Usually I'm up at 10 o'clock every day. So it felt good to sleep until 12:30, 1 o'clock. But anyway, out at Eldora, where there's a lot of cautions. I mean, 150 laps on the little track. They didn't have a mileage listed, so 75 miles, so that's 3/4 mile. Actually, it's a half-mile track. My math is fuzzy. It took an hour and 47 minutes. Average speed, 41.9 miles an hour. It was pretty interesting race. A lot of guys in the run. Speaking of make, Travis Quappel finished 17th after starting 32nd. That was a good run for him. We'll try to get him back on. So, we'll just have to catch up with make. Ken Schrader, I'm back in action, running the track with old Kenny and the Hunt Brothers Pizza Toyota. Haven't seen him around since he retired from the Cup Series. He does run some scheduled events. I think he owns an ARCA team as well. So it was good to see him. I think even ARCA was out in action as well. Everybody, there was a lot of racing this past weekend. Yes, and ARCA was in action as well. Out at Lucas Oil Raceway as a preliminary to the Lilly Diabetes 250 and the Brickyard 400 presented by Crown Royal. So, a full weekend of racing, good way to stay inside, especially if you weren't going to the track and were stuck with this heat wave. But anyway, it was a weekend of Kyle's, and the race in Eldora was taken by Kyle Larson, beating Christopher Bell. Some of his closest competitors wound up in the wall. Came down to a late shootout. Margin of victory was 0.7, a little over three quarters of a second. Which, when you're slipping and sliding around dirt, it could cause some problems. I was watching everybody bounce off the wall. I mean, there were 9 cautions for 52 laps. That's almost half the race. That's almost a third of the race. There were only 3 lead changes amongst 2 drivers. Pierce, who was one of the guys that bounced off the wall. Kyle Larson. And they traded the lead back and forth. Pierce leading on from lap 1 to 34, and then Larson led the next 15. And Pierce for, I guess, 61 or 67. And then the final round out, Larson led to the back end. Pierce did wind up bouncing off the wall trying to make a pass. As well as did a lot of other people as well. So it was an exciting race. Hallett sets in the points. William Byron still leads the points over Matt Crafton, but it's a 9-point lead. It could be caught up. Byron with 4 wins on the season. Puts him in the top spot as well. They do have a chase this year. Daniel Hemric was in the 3rd spot. I mean, this is in the points now. Let me go back to the race results. Kyle Larson led. Battling with Bobby Pierce, who actually led 102 laps. And he wound up only completing 126, and he led most of that race till he, you know, once he hit the wall, battling for the lead with Kyle Larson, that set him back. And it was pretty exciting racing to watch. So good to see the big time get out there. I know the Truck Series do it, and people calling for the Cup Series to get out there. Well, like I said, Christopher Bell was 2nd, Rico Abreu, A. Brewer, they mentioned it on TV. So we used to have on the Phillies, Bobby Abreu, spelled it the same way and pronounced it the way I pronounced it. So I'm curious to see how he pronounces it. Jake Griffin was 4th, Tyler Reddick 5th. Cole Custer in the 006. Cameron Haley is 7th. 8th, Daniel Hemric. Austin Wayne Self, who runs the ARCA Series, entered that race. He was 9th, and Matt Crafton was 10th. He said, good run for Kenny Schrader, who used to race everything under the sun back in the day. I mean, dirt to pavement to small, modified, Xfinity. And this is pretty much a lot in the same weekend. It all depends on who was running where and where he wanted to go. You'd always see him at a local track. But he was able to run there. Of course, being a dirt tracker from way back and was able to get in there and actually do pretty good against the Young Bucks. But, of course, a lot of NASCAR drivers getting their formative years in motorsports coming up on the local dirt tracks. This is a big event. Track is owned by Tony Stewart. More on him in a few minutes as he makes his last trip to the Brickyard, but here's your race winner from Eldora, Kyle Larson.
All right, we'll go ahead and continue on with our post-race media availability tonight here at Eldora Speedway. We are now joined by our race winner, Kyle Larson, driver of the number 24 DC Solar Chevrolet for GMS Racing, and his crew chief, Jeff Sengwitz. Kyle, we'll start with you. I know for the past few years, you've talked about wanting to check this race off your bucket list. You found yourself in victory lane here tonight. How does it feel?
It feels good. You know, I was came close the first 2 years, really close, and just didn't wasn't able to get it done. You know, probably didn't drive smart enough. Had to overdrive our truck because I know we weren't as good as we were this year on this GMS Racing truck. So just hats off to Jeff and everybody on the team for preparing a great piece. We struggled a little bit first practice, I thought, yesterday, but second practice we really came on and really stood out as the best truck. And, you know, the track was way different tonight than it was yesterday for practice, but you know, we were able to free up some before qualifying. And, you know, we're pretty good in the heat race. And then I don't think we touched it really at all in the feature there, and was able to get to lead pretty quickly. But then we got a flat tire there, and was held lap on pit road for causing the yellow. And came back out, got the lucky dog pretty quick, and knew we'd get back to the front. Just didn't. I knew it'd be tough to get by Bell and Pierce when I did get up there, and just kind of got lucky. Bell got in the wall, and I was able to get by him in 3 and 4. And then Pierce, I think he had a transmission issue, and was able to get by, in front of him on the restart. And he was better than I was for sure. And, I made a mistake off two. I tried to run easy there at the beginning just to not make any mistakes, and he was all over my back bumper. And I tried to step it up a notch and caught the cushion wrong off two and got in the wall. And he got a run and slid me, but he slid across just a little too fast and hit the wall and got flat. So from there, I calmed down some. I knew I was better than Bell. So on that restart, I took off good. I got clear off of one and then went to the middle of 3 and 4 in third gear and missed a shift off four. And he got in my back bumper, luckily square, and wasn't able to get by me. And, I stayed in front of him and just tried to run smooth last laps there. And not making mistakes and, probably made small mistakes, but nothing for him to get close enough to me to pull the trigger and slide by me. So, fun race. Tony had the track awesome, way different than how it'd been the last, few races, truck races we ran here. So, hats off to him for giving us a cushion and some moisture to get hold of.
There's your winner. Mr. Kyle Larson. I was kind of skeptical when Chip Ganassi elevated him to the Cup Series. I thought he needed a little more time running the Xfinity Series because sometimes they jump on these guys and move them up too soon. I still think that may have been the case. He needs a little more seasoning. I mean, he's got a lot of talent. But look at Joey Logano. He was brought up way too early to fill in for Tony Stewart or take over for Tony Stewart. And it took him a while to find his groove. And then with Gibbs Racing, I guess things didn't meet each other's expectations. And then Joey Logano, of course, goes on to Penske, becomes teammates with Brad Keselowski. They have some sort of chemistry going there because Logano's career blossomed. And last year, almost winning the championship, winning a lot of races, including the Daytona 500. So, progression of some of these young kids that come up way too soon and you figure they're in their 20s, early 20s sometimes, making it that far, and then takes them a good 10 years to mature. I mean, you get a few exceptions. Kyle Busch is one of them. But even that, it took him a while to get to the point where he'd win a championship rather than the checker or the wrecker. He won a lot of races and didn't finish a lot. And of course, he had a start with Hendrick as well. Actually, his start came in the Truck Series with Roush Racing. Then he didn't want to sign a long-term deal and went to Hendrick, and then we'll get more on the shrub in a little bit. So, good day for Kyle Larson. Of course, it was Wednesday night, middle of the week. And with all the election convention coverage going on, it was great to actually tune into something watchable. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, congrats to him. Of course, ARCA came into town on Friday for the Sioux Chief PowerPex 200 out at Lucas Oil Raceway, which is in the other side of town from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Chad Briscoe taking the checkered flag. Travis Miller second. Matt Snyder. Third place, John Williams. And Chad Finley round out top five. We'll go a little further down. Brett Holmes sixth, Kyle Benjamin seventh. Parker Kligerman, what happened to him? He used to run for Kyle Busch in the Truck Series. We actually had him on the show. He came in eighth, Gus Dean ninth. And Tommy Hessert out of Cherry Hill, New Jersey. I always have to say that because it's my old area of the state. Rounds out the top 10. In the points, top 10 in points for the ARCA Series is Chase Briscoe leading the pack. Got three wins on the season, eight top fives and 11 top tens. Good enough to give him a 265-point lead over Josh Williams. Matt Trzuski is third. Tommy Hessert in fourth. Kyle Weatherman, fifth. Thomas Prater, sixth. Brad Smith, seventh. Dalton Sargeant, eighth. Ninth is Dustin Knowles, round and top 10 in points, A.J. Feike. ARCA's next event will be the Mod Space 150 this coming weekend at Pocono Raceway. The Truck Series, this will be a doubleheader, actually. Camping World Truck Series will be in action as well. Actually, the Truck Series is, oh wait, there we go. At the Pocono Mountains 150. It's 50 lappers between the ARCA Series and the Truck Series. So, that will be Saturday. It's a Saturday doubleheader. If you ever get up to Pocono, it's a nice area. It's in the mountains. They've redone the facility. That race will start at 1 p.m. on MRN and Sirius XM or Fox Sports 1, who's carrying the Camping World Truck Series this year. Last year it was ESPN. This year it's just Fox and NBC carrying it. Fox Sports is covering the whole Camping World Truck Series. So catch that on Saturday. I guess I know what I'll be doing. That's why I can report back to y'all. Fill you in. Actually, they're running the ARCA race on Friday. Wow. 5:30 in the evening. Used to be on the same day. 150-mile, you're looking at a 2.5-mile track. So, check that out. This weekend. Anyway, in the NHRA, thought I saw some good news over the weekend, but it turned out not quite. Erica Enders ran really fast. That was a good sign. I think she needs all the good news she can get as she looks to climb that into that top 10 to run for the countdown. In the competition this weekend out of Bandimere Raceway in Bandimere, Colorado for the Mile High Nationals. The final came up to Tony Schumacher and Antron Brown. With Tony Schumacher getting the win over Antron Brown. It's been a while since Schumacher found the victory lane. Schumacher had to go through some tough competition. He went through Doug Kalita in round one, Steve Torrence in round two, and Clay Milliken, who's been running really well of late. I mean, in the semifinals, setting the stage, Antron, the defending champ, going through as the number two qualifier, going through Bob Passy, and then Sean Langdon, J.R. Todd in the semifinals, setting the stage for really not much of a match because Schumacher turned a 3.38 and Antron Brown had some traction issues turning a 5.19, and you know, and you get a top dual dragster whose basic ETs run from 3.75 to 3.82 depending on the temperature and all that. It's really doesn't take much, especially when you wind up a couple seconds behind. In the pro stock division, Antron Brown still holds a lead in the top spot, 57 points over Doug Kalita. Steve Torrance is in third spot. Brittany Force is fourth. She held the points lead for a while. Tony Schumacher is fifth. Sean Langdon is sixth. Seventh is J.R. Todd. Clay Milliken is eighth. Richie Crampton, who's been on the show, is ninth. And rounding out the top 10 in the Top Fuel division is Leah Pritchett, who actually got her first ever Top Fuel win this year. So she's in the countdown as of now. She's holding a point lead there. So she can maintain that over Terry McMillan. He's her closest competition in the 11th spot. So he's got a shot to bump her out. In the funny car division, John Force, the man, the best drag racer in history, gets his 144th win of the season over daughter Courtney. He turned the 396.5 to her 396.3 for the whole shot win. This was a battle, folks. He had a 0.38 reaction time to her 0.56 reaction time. We're talking thousandths of a second difference. It was a photo finish. I had to go back and watch it on the web because they ran at the same time as the cup race, which kind of, maybe I should have watched the NHRA and picked up the cup race later on in the day after seeing what I saw. But John Force proved again he was the number two qualifier, and daughter Courtney, his youngest daughter, was the number one qualifier. So she had the lowest ET of the weekend with a 391.7. Of course, top speed on the weekend was her teammate and brother-in-law, Robert Height. So it was, and the best reaction time was the big guy at an 0.36. And he turned that in the semifinals against defending champ Del Worsham. That was a tight battle there. Force winning a close one with by 0.05 of a second. Not as close as with Courtney, who was on a vengeance as well. But when you're the 16-time champ and probably the most high-profile person in the sport at 62 or 3 years of age and he's still getting it done, that ought to tell you a lot. In the funny car points, Ron Capp still leads the division. Courtney, with her semifinal run, close to within 122. It's still a decent gap. In the countdown, that 122 kicks off with just a 30-point deficit, and everybody else is 10 points below that all the way through the top 10. Beckman, Jack Fast Jack, is in the third spot. Matt Hagen, fourth. Robert Height is fifth, tied with Del Worsham. They're both 243 back, so that's a battle there. Seventh is Tommy Johnson Jr. John Force is in the eighth place. Ninth is Tim Wilkerson, and Alexis DeJoria rounds out the top 10 in the points. She got a win this year. She's been on the show before. Actually, when you look at it, John's been on the show. Robert Height's been on the show. Courtney's been on the show. Alexis has been on the show. And the 11th place guy in the funny car is Chad Head, but he's a couple hundred points, almost a couple hundred points behind Courtney. So on to the pro stock division. The gas cars, no nitromethane. Shifting the gears. where it does take a bit of talent to get to. The number one qualifier is Alice Lachlan, but the finals was elite motorsports driver Vincent Nobile versus Alan Johnson. Erica Enders ran it. It was a number two qualifier, but, and I say but, she had a tough second round going up against Alan Johnson, losing a close one. He got her off the tree by 3/1,000ths of a second. Crossed the finish line ahead of her by 6/1,000ths of a second in a photo finish. Turning point. She got into the second round. She ran really well. So her reaction time is about the only thing you can't take from her. Even though she was at 0:29 in round one and 0:24 in round two, for some reason the pro stockers were quicker off the tree than the nitro cars. But Erica made it through round one against Alan Prusinski, but then faced against her good friend Alan Johnson in round two, who beat her former teammate Drew Skillman in round one. In probably one of the closer battles of the day. Then on against Alan went to Greg Anderson, who is one of the toughest competitors in the pro stock this season. Greg Anderson setting the stage for Vincent Nobile to take on Vincent Nobile, who is Erica's new teammate. Thanks, Erica, for filling me in on that one. Nobile had to go through Jed Coughlin, his other teammate, Alex Lachlan, the number one qualifier, who red lit in the semis against Summit Racing's Jason Lyon, who's Greg Anderson's teammate. And these two guys have been winning just about everything this year, so to see fresh blood in the fresh faces in the finals this season, even though they're old faces, it kind of bumped them down. Nobile, a 7:037 to Alan Johnson's 6:98 with a 2. But Nobile, almost a perfect tree at 0:08, still needed a bit more to take Johnson, who got out a little bit late with an 0:47 light. It was kind of interesting that it was that strong. Johnson, who had his best two rounds of the day in the semis and the finals, running under 7 seconds. Times seem a little slower than normal. These are on 6.65s to 6.6s. The higher elevation tends to slow the cars down. Into the points, Jason Lyon leads his teammate Greg Anderson by 82. They're already locked into the countdown, so the battle is for third on back. Bo Butner is in the third spot. Alan Johnson with his win gives him a 73-point lead over runner-up Vincent Nobile. Gilman is in sixth. Chris McGahey, seventh. Shane Gray is eighth. Jed Coughlin, ninth. And Alex Laughlin is tenth. Erica Enders, by getting through the second round, closed the gap a little bit. She is now 11 back. So you can make that up having another good weekend the next time out. And if Lachlan has a same thing he had this weekend, if Erica can get to at least round three, the semifinals, then that would be good for her to get into that countdown, because that's her goal right now. This weekend out at Sonoma Raceway, out in Sonoma, California. Yeah, that's Sonoma Raceway. We're the Cup Series runs. They do have a drag strip there at the Bruton Smith track. So, and it's in wine country. You have a lot of enjoyable weather there. It is just above the San Francisco area, so that should tell you where it is. I've actually been out that way, not to the track, but to the Corbell Winery and had a champagne tasting. I'll tell you, it was well worth it. But that'll be this coming weekend, starting on the 29th, which is Friday, all the way through Sunday for final eliminations as the Western Swing Round 2 towards the end of the season comes in, and then the week after, August 5th, out in Seattle. And back east a little bit to Brainerd, Minnesota, wrapping up the end of the month of August with the U.S. Nationals at Lucas Oil Raceway in Indianapolis, the premier event on the NHRA Mellow Yellow Series circuit. And after that, the countdown begins. Man, it seems like the season was starting not too long ago, but it just flies on by. Anyway, the weekend itself out at the Brickyard turned out to be the Kyle Busch show. I mean, say what you want about Kyle. Love him or hate him. He's the type of guy that and I always said this, love him or hate him, he's got to be the most talented guy running present day. And, you know, there's guys that are good out there. Stewart back in his day, Jeff Gordon back in his day, Jimmy Johnson as well. Everybody has their turn, but I think the thing about Kyle Busch was, as good as a driver as he was, everybody was waiting for him to mature to the point where he could actually win championships. Can't say enough about Kyle Busch. I've interviewed him a couple of times. Fortunately, he didn't go off on me because the questions I asked evoked a decent answer. And I got all these tapes somewhere. Back in the day when we used to run them, I used to run a cassette tape recorder. And then I have to play it, edit it to another tape recorder so I can take out all the background noise. Didn't edit the interview because it was my question I wanted answered and nothing out of context. But it was out of Nazareth. It was I think it was still called the Busch Series, and they should have kept that name. Busch, Anheuser-Busch would have stayed the sponsor and called it the Busch Series because Kyle Busch pretty much owns the series. He can't run for points, but he can run for trophies. He did something this week that nobody else has ever done in NASCAR history. He won the pole for both events. And pretty much dominated winning both events. Let's start out with the Lilly Diabetes 250, fifth annual. Of course, it probably had a different name back in its inaugural. Came down to a battle between Penske drivers with the one that should have won and hoped to win, didn't win. His teammate did. He was on the air last night on NBCSN commentating about the Brickyard, Sam Hornish Jr., who's been on the show several times in his championship run, of course, that year, and he fell a little short, I think it was rigged, towards Austin Dillon, but came down to the last race of the year. But Kyle Busch dominating the event, 63 laps of the third half. This race was a dash for cash event. They ran two 20-lap heats prior, Kyle Busch winning those as well. And then 63-lap There was overtime. It was only supposed to be 60 laps. And Kyle was able to hang on for a victory just under half a second, average speed 138 miles. They ran a total of 157.5 miles instead of the scheduled 150 mile. Actually, 250 miles. But like I said, it was broken down into heats with Kyle Busch dominating the event. He led twice for 62 laps in the event. The only other winner who led the one other lap that was around was Brendan Gaughan. So, and that was on a pit stop exchange. So it's not that he passed him. He just was in the right spot to inherit the lead when everybody else pitted on the green. There were two cautions for 10 laps. Two lead changes amongst two drivers. Kevin Harvick wound up second, trying to chase him down and driving Dale Jr.'s 88, Junior Motorsports 88 car. Paul Menard third. Kyle Larson was fourth. Justin Allgaier fifth. Sixth, Elliott Sadler. Daniel Suarez seventh. Eighth, Joey Logano. Ninth was Ty Dillon, and Brandon Jones round out the top 10 in the chase for the Xfinity Cup. Daniel Suarez leads the points. Not by much. 14 over Elliott Sadler. Both have a win. Ty Dillon is in the third spot. Justin Allgaier, little gator, driver of the number 7, another junior motorsports car. I always liked him. He's in decent equipment. He's in the fourth spot. Eric Jones, another Joe Gibbs car. He's got two wins this season. He's in the fifth spot. Brendan Gaughan was sixth, only 4 points behind. The points are close, so these guys all be in the chase. So it just comes down to the seeding. So Brandon Jones is seventh. Eighth, Brennan Poole. Ninth, Darrell Bubba Wallace. And tenth, his teammate Ryan Reed. Of course, Ryan Reed, he was on the show promoting an event, then that's his sponsor anyway, Lilly, who makes his diabetes medication. He's a type 1, and there's no cure for that, I guess, unless they perfect the pancreatic transplant, which produces the organ that produces insulin, so it might be the only hope. But there's more medical advances in transplants anymore than there is in medication to cure diseases, and that's sad, and they're probably, contrary to what everybody believes, that a money thing, but that's my opinion. I could be wrong. Let's see, we can hear from race-winning driver Kyle Busch in the Xfinity Series.
We're now joined by our race-winning team for the NASCAR Xfinity Series Lilly Diabetes 250. Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 NOS Energy Drink Toyota, your crew chief Chris Gale, and Joe Gibbs Racing Vice President for Xfinity Series Operations, Steve D'Souza. Gentlemen, congratulations on a great win today. Kyle, tell us about those last couple of restarts and how that went down. We'll come back to you. Chris, what were your thoughts?
Wrong pipe.
All right.
I still might struggle.
What were what?
My thoughts on restarts? My thoughts were on restarts were to get really good ones, first of all. And then, I was able to do okay there on that second to last one. I felt like I got a pretty good jump and was able to be single file getting into turn one and could kind of dictate my pace from there. And then the last one, I felt like, Harvick was pushing me just a little bit, and he kind of broke off, and it must have been because the one car was pushing him, and he didn't get more alongside of me, which I was kind of shocked about, so I was able to, again, have my own way getting in turn one in my own lane and not have to worry about guys racing side by side with me. And then down the backstretch, Harvick and Larson, I think, got side-by-side, which kind of slowed them down, gave me a chance to get away a little bit. So that was sort of the sealer for the coffin, I guess, and being able to put the race away and having the opportunity to cross that restart line down the backstretch and know that there was whatever flag was next was the end of the race.
As your winner, Kyle Busch, talking about that. And Kyle Busch dominated the race. Harvick did wind up second. Paul Menard was third. Kyle Larson, fourth place. Justin Allgaier's fifth. Elliott Sadler, sixth. Daniel Suarez, eighth. Joey Logano, ninth. Suarez, seventh. Eighth was Joey Logano. Ninth was Ty Dillon, Brandon Jones, like I said before, rounds out the top 10. In the Cup Series, more of the same. Kyle Busch, again, on the pole. What can you say about this guy? Three times for 149 laps in the 170-mile race. 10 miles over what it should have been. There was overtime. It was the final appearance for Tony Stewart in the Brickyard 400, actually this year called the 23rd annual Crown Royal presents the Combat Wounded Coalition 400. And also a reappearance of Fox color analyst during the first half of the year, former driver and multiple time Indianapolis winner in the Sprint Cup Series, Jeff Gordon. Kyle Busch, three times for 149 laps. Coming down again. Restarts. The man can do the restarts. I was watching it as the restarts would happen, and you can't beat this guy. He's got a skill. He knows when to get the jump on the car. Teammate Matt Kenseth wound up second, making it a 1-2 Joe Gibbs finish. Jimmy Johnson third, back out to the Gibbs car of Denny Hamlin. Carl Edwards was up there for a while. He wound up getting a wreck earlier on, so they could have had all four Gibbs cars in the top five, but it wouldn't turn out that way. Kyle Larson, who was battling up there in the 42, was fifth. So basically, when I said a Kyle and Kyle weekend, Kyle Larson in Eldora, Kyle Busch in Xfinity and the Cup Series. Of course, again, Kyle Busch sweeping the weekend race-wise. So he did it last year in Indianapolis as well, only this time he tacked on the pole position for both. This wasn't a three-heat race like the Xfinity Series and the Dash for Cash. Oh, speaking of which, I failed to mention Justin Allgaier did win the $150,000 Dash for Cash prize yesterday. So Kevin Harvick was sixth in the race. Joey Logano, seventh. He was lined up trying to make a run at Kyle Busch, but just couldn't get it done. Well, again, backing up and was able to get around him. Kyle kept taking the inside lane and was able to get the jump and hold off everybody going down in the one for the outside in the outside lane. Paul Menard round out the top 10. Smoke, a decent 11th, climbing that points ladder to ensure himself in the chase. He is right now, points-wise, in the 27th spot, but he has to be in the top 30, and he has the win under his belt to take the win. I mean, to get into the chase. There's only six races to go before the chase, so Stewart's been running well of late. I actually kind of thought that he would have a shot at it. But being he didn't win this week, we'll just have to wait and see. With the win, it's his 38th career Sprint Cup win, Kyle Busch. He wound up tying with four on the season with Brad Keselowski. So there's a battle for the top seed going there with defending champ Kyle Busch and Brad K going for the top seeding this year in the chase. It's going to be interesting. There were eight cautions for 34 laps, most of them at the end of the race. You figure there was oil on the front stretch in the first eight laps. Then the next ones came at lap 54. And after that, it was at lap 121. And on toward the end of the race, there was for a total of eight. You only had one in the first, two in the first half of the race. And, needless to say, four lead changes amongst three drivers, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch, and Joey Logano. That was the main competition, but, again, Brad Keselowski got a little banged up, tried to play some pit strategy. Kyle Busch's last pit stop was earlier than everybody else's. They have, like, 54 to go. And he was able to nurse that around. They thought they were good on fuel, but you know when you start adding restarts, it gets kind of iffy. So that being done, Kyle Busch cements his name with another record. The only lap leader that led double digits in the race was Brad Keselowski. He led once for 15 laps. And Joey Logano had a stretch out front. But it was Kyle Busch's weekend at the Brickyard, dominating both events, winning both poles. So, good for him. It came down to restart strategy again yesterday, and basically he did what he did on Saturday. Time him, and then get going, and then able to get to the restart line there. And that being said, the next stop on the series is the Tricky Triangle. As I give you the seating on the wing guys in the chase, it's Keselowski and Busch with four, Johnson, Edwards, and Kenseth with two. In that order, because there are tiebreakers, and that's the points between them. And your single-digit winners, Denny Hamlin, the Daytona 500, your Daytona 500 winner, Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr., Kurt Busch, Joey Logano, and Tony Stewart. There are your single-digit winners. Your points, top 16 are as follows. The only guy... It's Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch. Your non-race winners would be Chase Elliott, Austin Dillon, Ryan Newman, Jamie McMurray, Kyle Larson, and they got Casey Kane listed here, but that's according to points. If they did it according to chase seedings, it would be Stewart, and Kane would be bumped down. And then Dale Earnhardt Jr. was in the 17th spot, which actually would be the 18th spot because Stewart would move up. These 34 points behind. Actually, he's 11 points behind Kyle Larson, who's on the bubble. And with Earnhardt not competing, he needs to get a win to get in. He's out with concussion systems. He'll be out next week at Pocono. Jeff Gordon is filling in for him again there. We hope he gets well. A lot of things at the track that Indianapolis yesterday, a lot of empty seats. I don't know if it was the heat or what, but just weird to see empty seats at Indianapolis of all places. You would think that any stock car fans, it is a big place. It does hold way more seats than any NASCAR track, but then again, that place is, the Indy 500 is the biggest draw where they do sell all the seats. Oh boy. Just had a bear walk across my deck. But anyway, as we head into the tricky triangle, I'm looking for a pick this week. For some reason, Junior's out, but his car ran good there in the beginning of the year. So Jeff Gordon's filling in. He does have some history there. Kurt Busch won this race last time around to get himself into the chase. Last year, Dale Jr. was, this race last year, Kenseth won, Keselowski was second, and Gordon was up there. So, you know what? I'm at a loss. It's either going to be Gordon or Stewart. Now, Stewart, last year, this race, wound up ninth. In this race a few months ago, he wound up 34th, but he did not. He was laps down, had problems, but he did qualify sixth. So I'm looking at who I think might do it. Of course, Kurt Busch drives for Tony Stewart, as well as Kevin Harvick, who was ninth. This is this year's race, a month and a half ago, basically. So, and then the other Stewart car, Danica Patrick, we won't even worry about. She's in decent equipment. She should be doing better. Can she do a lot better? We'll see what happens next year, though. Is it next year or the year after when Stuart Haas goes to Ford? There'll be a lot of Penske collaboration there, I bet. Either Penske or Roush. And the dominant Fords this year, in the past couple of years, have been Penske racing. So if I was Smoke, I'd go see the captain about getting hooked up with equipment there. But that being said, Kurt Busch started ninth. Harvick started fourth. Stewart started sixth. You know what? I'm going to have to go with the Smoke man. He seems to be on a program that way, so that'll be my pick for this week. Hope everybody enjoyed the show. I'm Vince Bonfigli, your host. Next week, we're going to look to have on Fox Sports Pit Reporter Jamie Little. We'll have her on Tuesday next week. So we're scheduling that in. So I hope everybody enjoyed today's show. Sorry I didn't get to any calls, so we'll worry about that next week. I'm Vince Bonfigli, your host. Good day, good racing. It's good to be back and talking to y'all. See you next week. Bye now.